1963's March on Washington was one of the largest mass protests ever held in the United States. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. based his entire campaign on nonviolent resistance, but his strategy was not endorsed by everyone. Another giant of the civil rights era had other ideas about the African-American struggle. Malcolm Little spent much of his early life in Lansing, at first with his parents and siblings and later in foster homes. Little changed his name to Malcolm X when he converted to Islam. For most of his public life, Malcolm X advocated militant resistance to whites, quote, by any means necessary. But near the end of his life, his worldview had started to change. Here in Lansing, Malcolm X's childhood home, a group called the X Foundation carries on his memory. Dennis Burnside is one of the founders of the group. Current State's Kevin Lavery continues to look at the local impact of the civil rights movement. He met Dennis Burnside at a most appropriate location, the intersection of Malcolm X Street and Martin Luther King Boulevard in Lansing.
We organized maybe 4 years ago and really started to coalesce and organize and work around that goal about 3 years ago, primarily working through city council.
And obviously that dream has become true because we are now sitting at the intersection of Malcolm X Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. This might be the only city in the world in which those two streets intersect.
Well, there's actually one other, and I'm told that in New York City. I'm not quite sure which borough. I believe it's in Manhattan in the Harlem area. But if there is another one, it's there. But we're one of two.
What are some of the goals of the X Foundation? Why was it created to perpetuate the legacy of Malcolm X?
We wanted to see what we could do to better recognize Malcolm X, who was known as Malcolm Little as a child, in his own hometown. You know, one of the members of our organization, Doug Warren, has made the point that Malcolm X is probably at least as impactful in American history and world history, if not more, than the Olds family or the beloved Irvin Magic Johnson, and he should have that same type of adulation and attention right here.
Malcolm X, or as you say, Malcolm Little, in his early years, was not born here in Lansing. He was born in Omaha, but he spent many of his formative years here in Lansing. Ironically, a few blocks south on what is today Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard is his home. What do we know about his early life in Lansing?
Well, we know his education took place here, his formal education. He was raised by a very politically active father who wanted to see the end of Jim Crow at that time. His mother was a educated woman who invested most of her time in the raising of the children, and so he was involved in a family that was a cocoon of love and also very much an aware family, not apathetic whatsoever. And so because of that, he, like many children who are raised in that environment, tend to have their own antenna raised at an early age. And I think despite the fact that he didn't initially show any type of political acute activity, he was aware at a very young age.
By the time he was about 13, his father was dead, and there were rumors that he had been murdered, but that had never been proven. Murdered by white supremacists was the rumor.
Right.
And his mother had been confined to a mental institution.
Yeah, his father, who had been warned many times about his speeches and his activity, and was told to cool it. And the area where his body was found seemed to indicate that he didn't get there on his own volition. His mother, with the pressure of raising a large family on her own with insufficient income, soon cracked under the pressure and was sent to the mental hospital in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And as you said, Malcolm X and his siblings were split apart and raised in foster homes. And it was a tragic, tragic childhood from that point on.
He eventually drifted into a life of crime, and it wasn't until he was in prison that he discovered Islam, and that set him on his life vocation. And if there was anyone diametrically opposed to the philosophy of Martin Luther King Jr., it was Malcolm X.
Initially, yes. Malcolm X was a strict adherent to self-defense, the Second Amendment. self-reliance and doing for self. He reached the working man in a way that even Martin Luther King could not approach. People identified with Malcolm because he conveyed himself as a man of the people, as if he came from us, the common man. Malcolm X was a man of the streets.
I'd like to play a clip of tape here. This is Malcolm X in a 1963 interview with Dr. Kenneth Clark, who at the time was a very prominent African-American psychologist in New York City. So I'd like you to hear that and give your thoughts on what Malcolm X is saying about that.
Sounds like a plan.
Reverend Martin Luther King preaches a doctrine of nonviolent insistence upon the rights of the American Negro. What is your attitude toward this philosophy?
The white man pays Reverend Martin Luther King, subsidizes Reverend Martin Luther King, so that Reverend Martin Luther King can continue to teach the Negroes to be defenseless. That's what you mean by nonviolent. Be defenseless. Be defenseless in the face of one of the most cruel beasts that has ever taken the people into captivity. That's this American white man. And they have proved it throughout the country by the police dogs and the police clubs. 100 years ago, they used to put on a white sheet and use a bloodhound against Negroes. Today, they have taken off the white sheet and put on police uniforms. They've traded in the bloodhounds for police dogs, and they're still doing the same thing. And just as Uncle Tom, back during slavery, used to keep the Negroes from resisting the bloodhound or resisting the Ku Klux Klan by teaching them to love their enemy or pray for those who use them despitefully. Today, Martin Luther King is just a 20th century or modern Uncle Tom or a religious Uncle Tom who is doing the same thing today to keep Negroes defenseless in the face of attack that Uncle Tom did on the plantation to keep those Negroes defenseless in the face of the attack of the Klan in that day.
So there was a very direct, pointed attack at Dr. King's philosophy.
Yeah, it's startling to listen to that again, even though I was aware of his position on that, to hear it in stark terms and his actual voice brought back memories. I think in the end, there's a synergistic effect between the two men. Martin Luther King's nonviolent resistance movement and Malcolm X's self-defense Second Amendment adherence by any means necessary. I think they galvanized groups of African Americans in a way that either man by himself could not. I think the aggregate result of their two contending philosophies was a positive.
In 1964, the year before Malcolm X was assassinated, he took a pilgrimage to Africa and saw firsthand many whites and blacks working together. And as you say, his views began to become less radicalized, but I think his core message was probably still the same.
Yeah, I do. I think he changed his views of people of different races and ethnic backgrounds, but his political objectives weren't altered one bit. I do think that in a way that Martin Luther King also evolved and progressed along the same path from a different direction. They saw that it was economic justice. It was the right to a living wage. It was the right to raise your children in security. It was a right to be able to count on a middle class type of lifestyle that was the key to the advancement of blacks here in America. They both moved in this direction and protested the war in Vietnam and were adamant about the rights of blacks to organize, participate in unions, demand better jobs, better working conditions, is when they really became a thorn in the side of the power elite. And I think in both cases, it signed their death warrant.
How is Malcolm X viewed here in Lansing, the town in which he lived? What's his profile like here? Do most people who live in this area know his story, and how is he viewed?
Well, you know, it's interesting you ask that question because the person who was the biggest emphasis for this movement was a man named Ahmad Shakaraki, and he came to me and asked me to participate in this effort to rename Main Street after Malcolm X, and I told him he was out of his mind. There's too much apathy, there's too much historical ignorance in this city for people to really care about it. That was my initial impression. And, you know, to an extent, that is true. But we also saw a lot of people who were interested, who wanted to see something done, who knew a lot about Malcolm X, and were proud to help us move our goal along. On the very last night of our effort, the night that the city council made the vote, we thought it was going to be a very, very close vote, and we realistically could see it going either way, and we kind of girded ourselves for defeat. To our pleasant surprise, we saw individual after individual who we had never asked, never called, never approached, never knew, walk up to the podium. Black women, white women, young, old, black men, white men, Hispanic people come up to the podium and advocate for the renaming of Main Street to Malcolm X Street, and gave impassioned speeches about why they thought it should be so. One woman said she had traveled the world and she had people come up to her in England and in Africa and Asia and say, "You must be proud to be from Lansing, Michigan, home of Malcolm X." And she said every time it took her off guard because she didn't realize that Malcolm X's reach was so long and so profound, where here in town, right here in Lansing, Michigan, you may not hear those type of words. But again, that night we heard it repeatedly, and it revealed to us that there is a lot of respect and a lot of pride and a lot of strong regard for Malcolm X and his life and what he did here.
What's Malcolm X's legacy today? How do his words and his actions and his beliefs still hold in America today?
Well, I think the late Ossie Davis put it best. He said that Malcolm X was our manhood. He was our shining prince. He was our example. He was our role model. I think Malcolm X, probably more than any other leader of the 20th century in the African-American community, stood up tall with his chest out and exemplified what a man should be, what a woman should be, who had pride, who had self-respect, and had determination to be free. He was all about self-reliance. He was all about self-defense, and he was all about taking care of his own. But I think his legacy is one of pride, a person that we can look back on and say, that is probably the single most impactful human being in many men's life. You know, when we were younger men, now that we're in middle age, we can still look back and say Malcolm X was the one who really electrified my political idealism.
Dennis Burnside is a co-founder of the X Foundation here in Lansing. Dennis, it has been a pleasure talking with you. I appreciate your time today. Thanks.
I enjoyed it, Kevin. Thank you.
For Current State, this is Kevin Lavery.